Well, good morning. Always great to have the kids gather with us like that, and it helps us remember just a lot about what the season's about, and as Emily so just presented so well, just the purpose for the season, the greatest gift ever given. Someone between services reminded me of something that I'm sure you've thought of. I know I have before, but it's very common to say that Jesus is the reason for the season, and that's appropriate because he is. In that case, we mean that he's the reason we're celebrating. But the person was pointing out to me something else. There's a reason for the reason. Meaning, why is there Christmas? Why did he come? What's the reason for the season? Jesus. What's the reason for the reason? You. We are the reason. Jesus didn't come for himself. It's because God so loved the world that he sent his son. So we pray this morning you've received of him. If not, we'll give you the opportunity to do so. But what an awesome gift. Thank God for his indescribable gift, the gift of Jesus. If you've been with us, you know that we're traveling through what are known as the Pilgrim Songs, the Songs of Ascent. Turn to Psalm 130 this morning. We continue our journey through these awesome, awesome psalms. And this psalm this morning has much, much for us. Psalm 130. Psalms 120 through 134 are indeed known as the Songs of Ascent. They're titled as such. They're titled that because they were sung by the pilgrims as they would make their way up to Jerusalem for the three feasts of the year. Song of Ascent, meaning as they would ascend up to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs. There were songs to be sung along the way, not just once they would arrive. But of course, they're recorded by the Lord for our sake, to be sung along the way, not just once we're home in heaven, but along our pilgrim's way, along our journey. These are the songs that we're to know and lay hold of these truths and all and to proclaim. And this one is right up there. It is such important, good stuff. Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Out of the depth I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. What an important, glorious, heartfelt song for every pilgrim in life's journey. True for them back then in their pilgrimage, and true for us today. All of us have been, will be, or we are right now in this pilgrim spot, as we shall see. In the psalm, we hear the cry from the depth for forgiveness. The recognition here of God's wonderful mercy and the redemption he's extended to us. That which has changed everything. The real Christmas gift is wrapped up in all of this. So, let's join him. Let's join this pilgrim as he sings this song. Let's join this pilgrim this morning. As we do, we're going to do it in one of two ways. We're either going to join this pilgrim as a need, if need be, or we're going to join this pilgrim song as a declaration of how awesome God is. And I pray, by the time we're through this morning, we'll have responded to it. We'll have laid hold of what's being offered to us. I've called our time together this morning. There is forgiveness with you. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord. We can be so distracted, especially this season, Lord. Things tugging on us. The pressures of shopping and family and meals and all. Just so much goes on, Lord. But help us in this time and in this place, Lord. Remove those distractions. Help us set them aside. And Lord, speak to hearts this morning. Help us to not come short of what you have for us in this pilgrim's journey. Help us, Lord, find in us a people that hear and then truly heart responds. So Lord, move amongst us. Move within us. Have your way. And Lord, there's encouragement here. There's challenge. There's exhortation. But it comes from you. It's rooted in your love. So find us, Lord, as receivers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's dive in and see what God would have for us in His Word this morning. Verse 1, out of the depth I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. As we join the pilgrim, we see that this pilgrim is almost drowning in his circumstances. He says he's crying out of the depth. Because of what the pilgrim goes on to declare in this psalm, it would appear that this pilgrim has been driven to these depths through an awareness of his need for forgiveness. For that's what the theme of the psalm is going to be about. But he begins in this place where he feels completely overwhelmed. He says, out of the depth, he's crying. And so I want to begin by asking you rhetorically, you ever been there? Ever been to that place where your circumstances in particular is pointing to your sin? Your failure has driven you to that place saying, God, help me. Forgive me. Is there a place of hope for me? Is there a place of forgiveness for me? You ever been there? Are you there right now? Words like cried, hear my voice, my supplications, these point to prayer. When we get to that point, when we're driven to such a deep awareness, when we realize that, Lord, nothing else can help me but you, that's exactly what we need to do. Not try to work it off, not try to be good enough. Lord, I'll offset my failure. Just give me a chance. No. The pilgrim has arrived at the point he understands none of that will avail him any good. He's at the point where he's saying, God, I cry to you. See, prayer gets us into touch with, into contact with the only one who is greater than all our sin. So let's begin by recognizing maybe you've been driven to those depths, and maybe it's this morning. And sometimes, let's face it, sometimes it requires that, doesn't it? Sometimes we're just stubborn. Sometimes we think we can somehow work it off or something. But sometimes the Lord has to drive us to the point where we exhaust all other options. He has to get us to that place where we just cry out for our only real answer. Depth. Driven deep provokes crying out. See, this is no rote prayer. It's not some cold, indifferent prayer. This is not some dry whatever prayer. It's a heart crying out. Maybe you're there this morning. Verses 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Lord, if you should mark iniquities. This doesn't mean that God doesn't know when we sin. What it means is, if he were to add them up, if he were to keep a record for the purpose of somehow calling us to be accountable for them, to somehow work them off ourselves or something, if we were to be held accountable for our sin, we wouldn't stand a chance. That's what it says. Lord, if you mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? Lord, if I have to stand before you and answer for my sin, I'm fried. I'm cooked. And I don't know how you feel about this verse, but man, I love the truth of this verse. Sad that we need it, but so good that it's given to us. That the truth of this is offered to us. So there's this man crying out from the depth of his sin, crying out saying, God, if I have to answer for these, who could do that? Who could stand before you? But what response will the pilgrim find now? He's reached the point of desperation. He's crying out from his sin. He recognizes he needs forgiveness. He's hungering for right standing with God and all. But what will the pilgrim find? What do we find? Is he going to hear God say, you, go away. Forget it. You've sinned way too much. Is that what the pilgrim's going to hear? Is that what we hear? Is there any hope for the pilgrim, this pilgrim or us? Have we failed too greatly to hope to hear anything from the Lord that would help us? Well, now we come to it. Thank God for verse 4. Thank God for the truth of verse 4 on our pilgrim's journey. Let's look at it. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. There is forgiveness with you. Think of what that means for him and for us. This verse changes everything. I know it does for my life, and I suspect it has for you too. And if you received it, I know it has. The truth of this verse gives us hope for our pilgrim's journey. Not despair. I don't have to wallow in my sin. I'm not stuck in my sin. I'm not doomed in my sin. There is forgiveness somewhere. Not in a work, not in a place, but in a person. There is forgiveness in you. Capital Y, speaking of the Lord. There is forgiveness in you. I encourage you this morning. Do you need to avail yourself of the truth of this psalm? Don't look around and say, I wish so-and-so was here. Don't look around and say, I hope he's listening. Hope my mate's listening. Don't be working your elbow. But let's say, Lord, if we need to hear it, let's lay hold of the truth of what's being offered to us. Let's not come short of the true gift of Christmas. This really isn't a Christmas message on one hand, but on the other hand, it really is. The Christmas message, Lord willing, is next Sunday. But this is a good one, considering what it's about. I encourage you, lay hold of the truth of this psalm. There is forgiveness with you, Lord. Not with our works. Not with your good outweighing the bad. It won't. Not with some religious observance. Not with church attendance. Not in do's and don'ts and earning anything. See, if you think you can have your good outweigh the bad, that somebody can work it off, then you don't know sin. It's too great for that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can handle our sin. But it can. It's only found in Jesus. But notice now, he says, there is forgiveness with you. But now notice the result of this journey of crying out in desperation and then finding the truth of the first part. The pilgrim finds the truth of, but there's forgiveness with you, Lord. So what's the result? What's the purpose here? What? That you may be feared. What an interesting statement. It's not what we might suspect if we were writing it. We might say, there's forgiveness with you that you might be loved. Or we might say the opposite, well, there's judgment with you that you might be feared. But God, through this pilgrim, puts them together. There's forgiveness with you that you might be feared. What's he trying to say? The true laying hold of the contrast between what we deserve with what we've been given should produce in us a real sense of awe, of wonder, of not a trembling and holding back and cowering fear, but a reverential awe. Lord, in light of that kind of love, I don't do anything that would sin against that kind of love. I want to have a fear of sinning and offending you. Thank God there's forgiveness, but I recognize the price you had to pay for it, and I don't want to stick that back in your face. I don't want to take that lightly. That's the idea here. That this kind of forgiveness should produce in us a sense that, Lord, change me, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to take lightly the price you've paid. A healthy fear of sinning against his great love is what this is referring to here. When we see someone taking forgiveness lightly, then we should be concerned for the nature of their repentance. I suspect the reason many people really don't change from their sinful behavior is they don't see it, they don't hate it like God does. There's a vast difference between sorry and repentance. Charles Spurgeon, that great pastor of some time past, he said, quote, "Too many think lightly of sin and therefore think lightly of the Savior." Too many think lightly of sin and therefore think lightly of the Savior. But when we get a real glimpse of, a view of what we've done, it drives us to these depths. But then we get a view of what He's done and what He offers, and oh, it lifts us to the heights. And we will be a people who praise and adore Him. You see, this work that God would have, if we're really broken over sin, then there's going to be real changes. I didn't say perfection. But people often come into my office, they'll talk about the fact I keep doing over and over again the same thing. And while on one hand I want to offer them grace and mercy, I often set before them something. I say, you know, maybe before you receive that forgiveness, this week needs to be given, go back a step more and say, Lord, help me see it like you do first. Because you see, a brokenness produces a humility, not an arrogance and a pride and, oh, yeah, whatever. There's forgiveness. Well, yeah, but when there's brokenness, there'll be change. Consider these verses. This is out of Romans 5. Can't read the whole book of Romans right now, but man, I encourage you to. What a reminder of in that awesome book. Romans has been called the gospel according to grace, and rightfully so. But just these couple of verses. Paul's been talking about the law versus grace and all. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law teaches us, and Paul says this in other portions. He says, the law was a schoolmaster to teach us we need a Savior. He says, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. I'm just kind of seeing if there's any smiles or excitement or if this produces any joy in us. I hope we get excited about the declaration of this and this psalm this morning. And that we avail ourselves of the truth of it. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Grace superabounded. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. But it doesn't stop there. Man later put in chapter and verse for the purpose of finding text and memorizing and all. But the next two sentences that Paul wrote, he went on to say this. What should we say then? Since grace abounds much more than sin, when sin abounds, grace abounds more, maybe we should just keep on sinning. I'll sin, He forgives. Hey, good deal. No, he says, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. What's the old King James say? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? See, the power of sin has been broken is one of the main arguments of Romans. I don't have to go with that anymore. I now have the power of God in my life to get victory. Sin doesn't have to be in the driver's seat anymore. Yes, we struggle. We're not on a ride. We ebb and flow, but there should be that positive upward growth in this whole thing. And so he's saying, should we just keep on sinning? I'll sin more. Grace will bow more. No. If we get it, there'll be a change, he's arguing. There should be this change, this result. It'll be to fear. See, again, true repentance will beget humility, a godly fear. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I do hope. There's a song about that we sing around here. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. The pilgrim reached the depth of despair over his sin. God, save me, help me, forgive me. He cries out and he discovers, thank you, God, that you don't hold these things. I'm not going to have to answer for them and pay for them. You don't mark those. Instead, I found forgiveness in you. Notice the next step. So I'm going to wait. The pilgrim waits for what? The Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul, my heart waits for the Lord. He doesn't say, I wait for religion. Instead, he says, I'm waiting. I want personal fellowship with the Lord. I want this sin dealt with so I can be back in close communion, connection with the Lord. And so by faith now, the pilgrim waiting for the touch that he cries out for. And what's the pilgrim's hope? That that prayer would be answered. That desire, that waiting, that would lead to anything. What's his hope for that? What's he basing it upon? What's he say? And in his word, I do hope. God's word declares that this is God's way to approach him. This is God's way to deal with those depths of sin and failure. This is God's way to live in him, to wait on the Lord. We can only hope upon and for that which God has promised. That's what's so awesome about having his word. You see, it's not up here for me to give you some pep talk of some nice sayings I've come up with. Those won't get you to the door. We need something that's sure. Place my hope where where I know there's promises that God will keep. Thank God for his word and how it expresses just that. See, we can hope in that which he has committed himself to. Again, not what we come up with, but what he's committed himself to. And that's what we find in his word. But for that, what we do find in his word, you can stake everything on it. Take it to the bank. It's for sure. May this pulpit always be about proclaiming that. Not opinion, but his word. And then verse 6. Have you ever been in a circumstance where you longed for the morning to finally come? Have you ever been in that place? Maybe you're sick, just sick as a dog, laying on the floor. You say, oh, Lord, let the morning come so I can call the doctor. And I don't want to make light of this. Maybe that's just one potential example. Maybe you were sitting with your fevered child and just praying, Lord, when the morning comes, will my child's fever break? Maybe you're waiting for some news that's going to arrive in the morning, something that'll change your life. There are all kinds of examples, but I'm just saying, have you ever been there just longing for morning, can't wait for that first glimmer of dawn to break? So you watch. When's the sun finally going to come up? But that's not what he says here. That's still not strong enough for what he's doing. What's he say? More than those who watch for the morning. Lord, I'm waiting on you and you alone, and my desire is more than when we're in that place of, Lord, bring the morning, bring the answer. Lord, more than those who wait for the morning. You're going to find me waiting for you, desiring you. How he longed for the Lord. He saw what separation had done, sin had done. And he thanked God now that there's a remedy for it. And oh, he wants that back. I wonder how much we really long for the Lord. I know what we say. But what do our lives, our attitudes say? How much do we really long for the Lord? How much do we understand the need to get everything cleared up between us and him? So we don't come short of what he's offering, the connection we can have with God. The reason he came to establish that. Or do we let things get in there? We settle for it. Well, no big deal. Or, well, yeah, I have these faults. And we don't understand the effect it's having. He's saying, Lord, I want you, and I'm going to wait on you, and I don't want anything in the way of us. How much do we really long for the Lord? How much do we long for his presence? How much do we really long for his touch in our lives? How much do we really long for fellowship with him? How easily we let other things short circuit waiting on the Lord. To let the depth drive us to the place where we cry out to him and him alone, that's the design so often. That let it have that purpose. But too often we short-circuit that. Lord, I don't want this emotional pain anymore. Lord, I don't like this. And so we seek to somehow numb ourselves to the pain. And we short-circuit the waiting on and the receiving of Him and His touch. We run to that drug. We run to that alcohol, the bottle. We run to a relationship that we shouldn't be in. We get involved in an activity that somehow gives us some thrill that maybe numbs us a little bit. We short-circuit waiting on the Lord, but then wonder why we're dry and why it's distant. And we wonder, what's life really about? Lord, this pilgrimage, it's out of whack. And His love, He says, I know. Cry out to Me. Do you need to cry out to Him today? Don't short-circuit this process. If must needs be, we have to come to the depths, so we cry out to Him, let it have that effect in our lives. If it needs to be today, so be it. And then in verses 7 and 8, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. True for Israel, true for each person who belongs to Jesus. How much redemption does the Lord have for those who have come to Him? What does it say there? And with Him is redemption? Abundant, overflowing, full redemption, abundant redemption. There is a limitless supply of mercy and redemption in the Lord. But it's only in the Lord. Go nowhere else. It will be futile. And don't resort to just excusing or putting it off or I'm not as bad as the next guy. It doesn't matter. If there's something in the way today, avail yourself of the mercy and the abundant redemption. Because it's only found in Him. It's only found in Him. Well, that's the psalm. This awesome pilgrim's psalm for our journey. But think about it. Think what the declaration of this psalm means for us on our pilgrim's journey. Think of what's being declared here for us. This speaks to the right at the core of us for our journey. And in our struggles and failures and all we go through, this is right there. But what response will it have in us this morning? Notice what the song declares that there is with the Lord. And I put that in quote, with the Lord. Verse 4, there is forgiveness with you. Verse 7, with the Lord there is mercy. And with Him is abundant redemption. With the Lord there is forgiveness, mercy, abundant redemption. Anybody here need those? Maybe you're in need of them today. I know that you'll need them in this life's journey, but maybe some need it right now this morning. The invitation, receive it. Heart, receive it. Why do I receive it? By acknowledging, by crying out from right where you're at, and no more excusing or blaming or defending, and just saying, God, forgive me. And what do you find? That there's forgiveness with the Lord. Abundant redemption, mercy, forgiveness. Have you partaken of them? Do you sit here as a pilgrim that you're saying, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm squared away. I've gotten things straight. Then let it produce worship. Let it produce praise in us. Let it shake off the doldrums and the, oh yeah, whatever. Let Him find us thanking Him for what we've got in Him. Well, as you know, I've encouraged us along the way to come up with titles for the Psalms, these Psalms of Ascents. I call them handles, meaning something you can grab onto when you're in the midst of this pilgrimage and you need these things that it's been pointing to. So we come up with titles to remind us of that. Oh, if ever there's a need to have a handle that you can grab onto, Psalm 130 points to it. for every pilgrim here. And so what might you title it this morning? And I've encouraged you to write it down or to journal it, at least write it on your heart. And this one definitely should be right up there. G. Campbell Morgan calls it Jehovah, the Redeemer of the Pilgrim. Israel My Glory calls it Our Redeemer. As I read it over and over again, I thought, well, they hit the nail on the head for me on that one. I titled it Jesus, Our Glorious Redeemer. So what will you title it? More importantly, is will you look to it? Do you need to look to it right now, this morning? Go back to verses 3 and 4 with me now. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. It is now time to be a doer and not just a hearer. The day can have all kinds of things ahead of it. And that's a fine. Family, food, fun, fellowship, naps, football, whatever the day has, that's fine. But right now is God speaking to you to avail yourself of this. There's two groups I want to address for just a moment. First of all, the one who has not received Christ as Savior. If you're here this morning, you've heard the claims, but you haven't really made that decision. Please hear in love the offer. And I'm just going to condense it down to say this. How is this forgiveness offered and what do we do about it? Well, first of all, let's be clear. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. All of us have sinned. I don't hear anybody going, oh, really? Think of it. There are sins of commission, the things we've done, and we know. And there's sins of omission, things we should have done and didn't do. They're all sin. And all have sinned. Sin means to miss the mark. God's perfection, holiness is the mark, and we've all missed it. I think I mentioned before one time I was sharing from this and a woman came up after me after a service that I was teaching at and she got in my face. She goes, what are you saying about me? I'm like, I didn't say it. I'm passing it on. But I'm not saying it about you. I'm saying it about all of us. All have sinned. But there's a remedy for all. But each has to receive individually. The invitation's out there. The call's out there. But each must receive of it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But thank God he didn't leave us there. For we have the gift of Christmas. For the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, separation from God. But the gift, a gift is not something you earn. It's received. God freely offers it. But the gift of God is eternal life through church attendance. Oh, doesn't say that? By being good enough. You ask people, how are you going to heaven? Well, I just hope my good will outweigh the bad. Got some news. There's no scales at heaven's gates. Put your good in here and your bad. Oh, look, my good outweighed it. No, there's a book. And your name needs to be in there. But the gift of God. Lord, how do I get saved? How do I know? How can I be sure? The gift of God is eternal life. How? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you received of him? In just a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to do that. But I want to speak to those of us who, through God's mercy and grace, we have received. We still know we struggle. And so I'd ask you, not to be answered out loud, rhetorical, but to be heart answered, are you in the depth this morning? Are you in the depths of the fact that you recognize you've fallen? Are you in the depths of what we would call a backslidden state? You're not where you used to be with the Lord. You've gotten lukewarm. You're coasting. And maybe even lost sight of the price you're paying, the distance that's occurred between you and him. Guess who moved? That there's maybe just you're not, it's not all that it could be. You're missing out. There's all kinds of things could be going on that cause that. Maybe it's gotten into something that you know what's wrong. And God in his love is setting before you this opportunity this morning. Believer, remember, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. A couple of things important about this. It's written to believers. But that we still sin. But there's a place to come and get it dealt with. So rather than sit there and defend or excuse or say, well, it's no big deal, I can live with it. Don't. Why? And also hear this. Whatever you've done, oh, my sin's too great. He can never forgive what I've done. well, God declares the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. No matter what you've done, as we saw earlier, His grace abounds more. God can handle it if we bring it to Him. And then it goes on to say in the next two verses, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we don't, well, I really meant well with that, or I did. We need to confess it. We need to just admit it to God. I did that. And you're there right now, maybe. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful. And He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is it time for you to not deny the sin that's gotten in the way, the backsliding, whatever it might be? Is it time for you to not excuse it, but instead confess it and receive forgiveness? You're getting an invitation in just a moment also. I'm going to invite our worship team up. All of us, all believers, if this is not our need today, again, if things are really squared away, you're tracking well, things are cleared up, you've received the forgiveness and all, then let it be our declaration. If it's not your need to receive, then let it be our declaration. Let's praise Him for the gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That there is forgiveness with Him. That we don't have to, that He's not going to hold, we don't have to be accountable. We don't have to stand before Him and try to account for it ourselves. But there's, thank God that we've come and received the forgiveness. Think how that's changed our lives. Think of the hope it gives us. So this morning, if you need to avail yourself of that forgiveness, do it. If you have, then it should produce in us, no, okay, I'm going to praise for a while. It should be joy and thanksgiving and worship that's produced in anyone who's received of this. Look at these. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, oh Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with You that you may be feared. Hear the awesome truth that this gives us on our pilgrim's journey. If you need to receive of it this morning, so be it. If you have and you're doing well, then respond because of it. Rejoice, pilgrim, over what this song declares to us on our journey. The worship team is going to lead us in some songs. They're Christmas songs. It's okay to respond to a Christmas song. If you haven't received Christ as Savior, go back to that corner back there and tell one of the prayer partners, I want to make that prayer. If you're a believer but you recognize the need, something's gotten in the way, you've drifted, I don't know what it is, then I'm going to invite you. The altar's available. Now, in saying that, that's hard. Pastor Dale, if I get up and go up front and do business with God, everybody's going to know. If they judge you for that, they better be right on your heels and join you right next to you for judging you, for getting things squared away. But see, we don't know what it might be. It just might be a drifting, whatever it is. But you recognize, and you're crying out from the depths, God, forgive me. I want to get back on track. Whatever it is, I want to come receive it because there is forgiveness with You. The altar is going to be available for us and for all of us. Let's make sure to respond now. Father, we've come to this time now. We've heard You clearly set before us the declaration of both our need and Your answer. Father, if there's someone here who hasn't received of Jesus Christ as Savior, draw them. For those who have, Lord, but we recognize there's been some sliding back. We're coasting. Maybe there's flat out been some sin. Whatever's brought them to this place, Lord. And maybe just they're feeling that. They're in the depth. They're crying out. Thank You, Lord. As You've declared here, if You were to mark our iniquities, who could stand? We can't stand on our own, but thank You, there's a place. There's a refuge. We can flee to You and find forgiveness. Lord, if it needs to be for any of us, let it be right now. And may all of us, Father, you may find all who've received right now adoring and worshiping You because You're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.